Okay, we're in the Gemara Brachas Yud Beis Amud Beis 12b. I would say more than halfway down the page. Ugh. Now it's froze on me. Gotta wait a minute. It's just have to be patient. It's really okay. Okay, I think we're ready to go. Okay, so we're on the next question. Having discussed why we didn't put the Parsha of Balak in the Shema, because it was too long, so now we're going to focus on what we do have in the Shema, and why we have it in the Shema as it is. Remember, we have Shema and V'hayoyim Shemoa, but what do we need tzitzis for? The third paragraph. In other words, just like the rabbis wanted to put in Parsha's Balak, but since it was too long, they chose not to. So we have to say, ask, why is Parshas Tzitzis, which really doesn't have anything to do with belief in one God, right? As much as the first two chapters go together with each other, but the third Tzitzis is just Tzitzis. So why that more than anything else? So that's what Gemara is going to ask over here. Parshas Tzitzis mipnei ma kavua. Why did they put the third parsha of Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemor, the Parsha Tzitzis, why did they establish it as part of the Shema recitation? So a number of answers are given. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva mipnei sheyesh po chamisha dvarim. There's five things in it. Number one is Mitzvah Tzitzis. One is the Mitzvah Tzitzis. Okay. Number two, Yitzias Mitzrayim. It mentions we should remember that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Number two. Number three is the Ol Mitzvahs. There's the yoke of the Mitzvahs. Number four, Vidas, meaning, and to be aware of heretical opinions. Okay, and be careful. Don't follow those people who distort the true meaning of the Torah. And number five, hira avera, and also to stay away from sinful, immoral thoughts. Okay, so now, some of them are obvious, some of them are not so obvious. So Gemara is trying to figure out, okay, some of them I don't see what you mean. Like, where is that in the Shema? So Gemara asks, oh, and one more, I'm sorry, I jumped the gun. Vihira avodah zarah. And thoughts of idolatry. Now, there's already a problem. He said five, and we've six. Listed six. Yeah. That's the question. So Toser ben Yehuda Chassid and Toser Rush explained that heretical opinions are the same as idolatrous thoughts, and they're part of five. It's also implied by Rashi. Others say that the Gemara considered obvious that whichever passage which be included would contain a reference to the Exodus from Egypt, where it therefore states that the passage of Tzitzis was chosen because of an additional five things it contains besides taking us out of Egypt. Okay, fine. So, Gemara now analyzes. Well, let's see where they are in that chapter. Bishlei Mahani Klas Mefarshim. Well, three of them are clearly, explicitly stated. We got no problem with that. All mitzvahs, accepting the yoke of mitzvahs, Tichsiv, it says, Ura'isa Maso, you'll see the tzitzis, Uzachar Temes, call mitzvahs Hashem, and remember all the mitzvahs to do them. So that's clearly the source of the mitzvahs. As a matter of fact, the tzitzis numerical value of the word tzitzis and the strings is 613. So that's there to remind you about all the mitzvahs. Fine. Tzitzis itself, obviously, Tichsiv, Asulahem, tzitzis, make for yourself tzitzis. Yitzias Mitzrayim is also obvious. Dichsiv Asher Hotzeis Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Egypt. Those we can see obviously. Eladas Minim. Here are but to beware of heretical opinions and sinful thoughts and idolatrous thoughts. Minolan, where do you see anything about that? So more answers. Well, there's a brisa that explains this statement, and you see how it fits in. Titani, we learn in our brisa, it says, Lo sasuri, you should not stray acharei levavachem, after your hearts. So zuminus, that's heresy, because that's an infected heart. A heart that strays will stray to heresy. That's what it means. Beware that your heart should not stray. Right? So where would your heart be straying? So it's saying stay heresy. V'cheinu Omer, and similarly, you see in a pasuk, Omar, it says, Navol Bilibo. ein Elohim. The degraded man says in his heart there is no God. So that's what it means. Don't stray after your heart, because the person will go after his heart to say there is no God. So therefore, no one is more degraded than one who distorts the meaning of the word of the living God. So when the pasuk is talking about a heretic, and it's an opinion of the heart, therefore you have to be careful about that. And acharei einechem, don't stray after your eyes. Zuhir avero, those are thoughts of sinful thoughts. Shenemers, it says, Vayomer Shimshon Aviv, when Shimshon said to his father, the father said, what were you, about the woman he wanted to marry? He says, Osa kachli, take this woman from me, kihi yashra be'ena, for she is fitting in be'ena, in my eyes. So we see that the gazing of the eyes was for something that he should not have wanted. And Ashtem Zonim, which you are straying. So here Avodah Zarah, that's thoughts of idolatry. V'chein Omer, and similar it says, V'yiznu achrebam, they strayed after the Baal. The Baal was a form of idol worshiping. Okay, now, that explains the six. Now, the Yerushalmi cited briefly by Tosfos and fully by Tosfos explained the Shema was composed of the three passages that we read, because all of the Ten Commandments are alluded in these passages. If you have a really good sitter, not the Art Scroll, nothing against the Art Scroll, but a really good sitter will have a little bit of, right by those words, it will have a little bracket in under the main print, show you which one of the Ten Commandments it's connected to. So you have on the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord. So what compares to that? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Okay. L'yilcha Elokim Echad. You shouldn't have any other gods. That's Hashem Echad. Hashem is one, no other God. You should not say God's name in vain. That corresponds to Vahavtas Hashem Elokecha. You should love Hashem, because if you love Hashem, you would never swear falsely in His name. Zochar Yom Shabbos. Remember the Shabbos. So we say Leman Tizkiru V'Asisem Es Kol Mitzvosai. You should remember to all my mitzvahs, because Gemara says Shabbos is equal to all the mitzvahs. Honor your father and mother. So that's hinted to when it says Leman Yirbei Mechem, so your days should be lengthened, because the Torah itself says honor your father and mother, that your days are lengthened.
Could
mean
showing the mother bird too.
Yeah, I know, but
so more likely.
But it's got, it means both, but it's got this one. Lo tirzach, you shall not kill, corresponds to Vavad Tamera, you will be swiftly eradicated, because somebody who kills is ultimately eradicated. Lo sinaf, adultery, that's don't go after your eyes and after your heart. Lo signov, don't steal. It says with a softening out, you will collect your grain and not somebody else's grain. Nine, not to bear false witness. And the Hashem Elokechem, MS, I am the true God. So you have to have truth. And finally, lo sachmod beis rech, you should not covet your friend's house. It says you should write mezuzahs on your house and not other people's houses. So that's the hinting to the ten, the Aseres HaDibros that are there. Obviously, there's much more as to why the Parsha of Tzitzis is added on. The Sfas Emes gives a very nice explanation. I gave a whole Parsha class on that many, many moons ago. It'll probably be in Parsha Shalach. Must be like 10 years ago. Sfas Emes says, in a nutshell, I'm not going into all the details, he says that putting on tzitzis is the goal of the mitzvah is to train your eyes how to look at things in life. And if you put on the tzitzis, because the tzitzis have four corners, four corners means there's an end, and that means just like that, tzitzis is a garment to your body, and it comes to an end, points come to an end. So too, your body is just a garment of the soul that comes to an end. And therefore, you shouldn't be, don't focus your life on featuring your garment, which is your body, as opposed to focusing on your soul. And that's all Yiddishkeit. You could have all this wonderful theory of one God and all this and follow the mitzvahs. But if you think your body is the most important thing of your existence, then you're not going to be able to keep Torah mitzvahs.
Can you say that's the children that sits this?
That's the continuation, or
no? We're saying you have four cornered garment.
Yeah.
The four cornered garment requires the tzitzis. Yeah. Then there's a whole thing about the tzitzis, how the tzitzis remind you of Hashem. So, in other words, so the area of physicality, which is your garment. I mean, you can understand if really it was your clothes that had tzitzis, you know, you're not going to be able to make fashion statements with your clothes. Imagine all of a sudden everybody in Hollywood, you know, all their clothes have tzitzis hanging down from them.
It's the square.
But I'm just saying. So the tzitzis are reminding you that there's much more than just the garment. And therefore, the power of tzitzis, if it's done correctly, teaches you how to view the world. And if you can view the world in a realistic way, then you'll be able to believe in Hashem and all those other things. Okay, we finish this Gemara. Now we move on to a new Mishnah. Now there's one more point left to discuss in the Shema. And this is the famous Machlokes. And this will get us already preparing for Pesach. As you'll see, this paragraph, this Mishnah, should be familiar to you. The Mishnah says, Maskirim Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos. You mention the exodus of Egypt at night, and that's in the third paragraph. Although it's primarily for tzitzis, but we also have to make a mention of the exodus from Egypt in the Shema. Amar Abeloz, that's the Tanakhama. Amar Abeloz ben Azariah, Abeloz ben Azariah says, Hare ani keben shivim shana, behold, I'm like 70 years old, right? And if you remember, we'll see later on, the Gemara Chav Ches Amar Aleph, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who, when there was a big dispute in the yeshiva, and people were very unhappy with Rabban Gamliel, who was the Nasi, and they wanted to depose him, and they weren't sure who to depose him for, so the suggestion came to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was a sort of a neutral figure, and the problem was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was only 18. Although he was a great scholar, and there was nothing wrong with that selection, but Rabbi Elazar, and when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah came to his wife says, "You know, you don't even have a beard, you're not an old man. No one's going to respect you. Not an old man." So Hashem made a miracle that all his hairs turned white, and he aged, as it were. That was the miracle that happened. So that's why he's saying, "Hare ani keven shivim shana," I'm like a person who's 70 years old. Okay, and therefore they understood that he should be appointed for that. And then he's going to say, nevertheless, I haven't been able to win this argument. Now, let's take a look over here. The Rambam writes that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah exerted himself phenomenally in the study of Torah in his youth, pausing neither by day nor by night, so that by the age of 18 he was physically spent like a 70-year-old. The heavenly-induced phenomenon of his hair turning white was not a miracle in the usual sense, but merely made his outward appearance reflect his inner condition. Thus his comment means, notwithstanding my youth, my appearance proves that I have toiled enormously in Torah. In other words, so you'd figure that people would respect my opinion, and I'd be able to win the day in the argument. So that's the point of Hare Ani Keven Shima, and that's exactly in the Haggadah where this starts. This is part of the Haggadah. Says, I'm like 70 years old. And I did not merit to prevail over my colleagues to prove and convince them that you have to say the Kriya Shema at the Exodus from Egypt at night. Ad Shidrasha Ben Zoma. Till Ben Zoma came along and he explained a pasuk in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And this was the day the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed the Nasi. And what's the proof that Ben Zoma brought from the Pasuk? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, in the Shema, L'man tizkor es yom seischo me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. So that you should remember the day you went out of Egypt all the days of your life. So now the question is, there's a little bit of extra wording over there. Because, I mean, you just have to remember it. So, if you remember it, shouldn't you have to remember it all the days of your life? No, you'll remember it for one day and forget it afterwards. So, what do you say, Kol Yemei Chayecha for? So he explains like this: Yemei Chayecha, when it says the days of your life, that's Hayomim, that's the days. Kol Yemei Chayecha Halelos, that includes the nights. All the days and the nights. So Kol has a double meaning. Meaning not all, not merely all the days, but the entire day. So therefore, both parts of the day, which includes day and night. That's the way he interpreted. So from that we see there's a mitzvah to say that you see a Yetzias at night. But the rabbis who were not accepting that, so what did they do with those extra words? They say like this: Yemei Chayecha, the days of your life, Holam Hazeh, that's in this world. And call all Lahavi Limos HaMashiach, to say that even in the times of the Messianic era, we still have to mention the going out of Egypt. So we'll have to see later on. The Gemara is going to discuss the opinions, you know, back and forth in that area. And that's what exactly is coming up in the very Gemara here. So what's the obvious question on this opinion of the Chacham?
We learned only Purim is going to be.
Well, no, you can't ask a question from that. That's like an outside source. But just a simple question.
What do they do with
So he's going to say, Tani, we're learning a Braisa. Amalem Ren Zoma Chum, Ren Zoma said the Chumim. V'chi maskir mitzis Yisrael v'mosa Mashiach? Are we going to mention the Exodus when Mashiach comes? Let's take a look at what the prophets have to say about the days of Mashiach. V'lo kfar nemar, the number already tells you, when Mashiach comes, Hine yomim boim nu'um Hashem. Behold, days are coming, says Hashem. And what's the prophecy? V'lo yomru oda, they'll no longer refer to God as Chai Hashem asher helos v'nei sol mitzrayim. We're no longer refer to God as the God who took us out of Egypt, but rather we're going to refer to him as Chai Hashem asher hela v'asher hevi eser b'yisrael me'eres safona. But rather, we're going to say that Hashem, who brought us up and brought us back from the house of Israel, from the land of the north. Remember, the exile started from the north.
Kenda? At
Bavel. And we call Aratzos Asher Hidachtim Shem. And from all the lands where they were dispersed. That's what we're going to say. When Mashiach comes, and notice the miracles are going to be so great when Mashiach comes, that the miracles of Egypt are going to pale. So you're not going to mention it. You're going to say, when Mashiach comes, blessed is God who took us out of this terrible Golus. That's what and we're no longer going, and it says, and we're no longer going to say he's the God who took us out of Egypt. That's more saying we're no longer going to say it. So how can you say that the Kol Yemei Chayech is including that even in Mashiach's times, you have to say the Yetzias Mitzrayim? So what did they answer? Amrlo, the rabbis answered, does the pasuk does not mean lo shetiaker yitzis memkum? It doesn't mean we're going to totally remove it from its place and it's totally removed, but rather its hierarchy will be shifted. Elishate shibud malchus ikar. But now, when we're living in the messianic era, the freedom from the exile will become the primary thing we'll be thanking Hashem for. V'yetzias Mitzrayim tofalo. And the exodus from Egypt will be the supplementary one, will be the second tier praise. So for that, we still have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim even after the Mashiach. But it's not the primary one. So now he's saying we're no longer going to say the primary praise of Hashem as we do now is that he took us out of Egypt, but rather the primary will be that he took us out of the Golus, and the secondary will be going out of Egypt. And you have a similar idea where something existed that not it was totally replaced, but it came secondary. Where do you have another idea like that? Similar to what you find where Hashem says to Yaakov when he changes his name, he says, Lo yikari shimcha od Yaakov, your name will no longer be called Yaakov, Ki'im Yisrael Yeshemecha, but rather Yisrael will be your name. But guess what? Moving up to Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So, but obviously, if you look in this psukim over there, right after Hashem says you're not going to call Yaakov, Hashem calls him Yaakov. Yeah. So you just said it's not going to be. So what it means is Lo Shi'aker Yaakov Mimkomo. Not that Yaakov's name is totally uprooted from its place. Ela Yisrael Iker, rather Yisrael is the primary one. For Yaakov, Tafalo. And Yaakov will now be the supplementary one. So you're no longer primarily called Yaakov. You're primarily called Yisrael. So the same thing is with the Mashiach. Similarly, V'cheinu Omer, so now, having rebuffed Ben Zoma's challenge, the sage has gone to say scriptural support for the opinion. The redemption of the last Yaakov will merely overshadow the exit from Egypt. So he gives another example, and this is a pasuk regarding the Messianic era. It says, Al tizkeru rishonim v'kadmonios al tizbonenu. It says, do not recall former occurrences and do not contemplate earlier events. What's the double expression? Al tizkeru rishonos zeshivud malchios. Do not recall former occurrences. This is a reference to the previous redemptions from dominions of foreign kingdoms, meaning from the first three of the four exiles, Bavel, Modai, and Greece. Gemara calls these Shibud Malchios, right? So those were different kingdoms who ruled over us. We're not going to mention that anymore. Vekadmonios altis bonum, and the earlier ones than that we won't reflect. Zu Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is going out of Egypt. Okay, so what do we see from this? That the remembrance will continue, but it's not going to be contemplated. It says don't contemplate it. In other words, we won't have a long, like when we have the Seder, we contemplate it. We spend a whole night on it. He says, we're not going to spend a whole night on it anymore, but we'll still mention it. That's the point, as the pasuk's not yet over, but that's what he's saying. The miracles of our salvation from the dominion of Babylonia, Media, and Greece will not be mentioned at all in the Messianic era. Since Scripture never imposed or required to remember our salvation from these oppressors, we'll cease to do so in the Messianic era, when there will be far greater salvation. However, the remembrance of the exile in Egypt will always be carried on because the Torah has commanded us to remember it, and this command is eternal. But it will become secondary. So that's what he's saying. It says, again, it says, Al tizkeru. You don't mention the other three exiles. You don't even mention them. But kadmonius, but before that, Al tizbonu, you don't contemplate. Contemplate, no. But mention, yes. That's the point he's saying. So we'll still will mention it. And then the pasuk ends off. Okay, so that's the proof from that. And then the pasuk continues. Hineni osa chadosha. Now I'm doing brand new miracles. Atotitzmach. Now it will sprout. This is the reason why we're not going to remember the previous redemptions from previous exiles at all. And that we're not going to contemplate Egypt because what's happening, the last thing, is the most amazing. As Tani Rabbi Yosef Rosef teaches us, what's the last one referring to? Zu Melchames Gog u'Magog. This is the war of Gog u'Magog, which is the full redemption. So therefore we're saying that, yes, that's going to be so amazing that we're not even going to mention the previous redemptions of exile, and Egypt will mention it, but we're not going to contemplate it. And what's the analogy to this? How can we compare this? A person who's going on the road. First, he's attacked by a wolf. He's saved from it. Then he would tell me, oh, you know, I got saved by a wolf. This is amazing. Hashem loves it. I got saved by a wolf. Well, the trip continues. Now a lion met him. He got saved from the lion. From that time on, and the lion's much more difficult to deal with than a wolf. Say, wow, I got saved from the lion. Pagabo Nachash, he was met up by a poisonous snake. Vinitzel Memeno, he got saved from that. Shachach Maase Shneem, he forgot the first two for sure. Vahoya Misaper, Vahoylech Maase Nachash. He continued to talk about the story of the snake only, because it eclipses the other one. Af kol Yisrael, so this af kach Yisrael, so this with the Jewish people. Tzaras achronos mashkachas asirishonos. The last sufferings will cause us to forget the earlier ones, because the last exile we're in today is the worst of them all, and therefore the redemption from this is going to be much greater than anything else. And that's the idea of. It's interesting. He calls it the nachash.
No, the snake.
Because it's mamish, the Yetzer, the snake, is going to be the most powerful. Now,
it's not the word snake, it's the word nahash.
Nachash the snake.
That's the Satan. That's the body.
Exactly.
Of the
exactly. Really so this the Eitz Hadas, all that confusion will exist right before the times of Mashiach, and that's where we'll be saved from that. That's what we're going to talk about. Okay, tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we will finish the perek and move on to the next perek. Shkoyach, everybody.